everybody loves a night out, whether it's seeing your favorite band in person or maybe being there in the crowd to cheer on your favorite team. Well, with the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program, you can go to the concert or show of your choice and earn credit towards your next live event. Vivid Seats is the top source for tickets for all the live events you want to go to. You can sort by price or look for seats in the section and row of your choice, all in the Vivid Seats app. To make things even better, Vivid Seats now has a loyalty program that allows fans to earn credit back. All you need to do is use the Vivid Seats app to purchase tickets and start earning today. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Fans are automatically enrolled in the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. From the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater shows and more, Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app and join the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program today. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let the Vivid Seats app help you get to your favorite live event. Enter promo code ESPN25 for 10% off your next order.
A three in garbage time versus the Knicks. First off, is there any other kind of time versus the Knicks? Peyton sending Crowder into the first row. Marcus Morris involved in a scrap. Who would have thunk that? And then terribly disrespectful to an entire gender. And then Knicks fans chanting, sell the team. We have a whole lot to unpack, Adam.
Can't hear it.
Frank, were those seats ever occupied in the front row?
Maybe a couple.
The extracurriculars last night from Knicks Grizzlies included Elfrid Payton knocking Jay Crowder into the first row as retaliation for Crowder's three up 18 with 48 seconds left. The skirmish that followed, this from Marcus Morris after the game.
Man, I think dude is just, you know, he played the game a different way. Like, he just, a lot of female tendencies on the court. That's how he carried it, man, and, you know, it's just very womanlike.
Later, this apology from Morris for what he called a heat-of-the-moment comment, quote, I have the utmost respect for women and everything they mean to us, end quote. Also, sell the team chants from fans at the Garden, and no hot water or water pressure for the Grizzlies to shower with after the game, John Morant told us. A lot to unpack, as I said. Frank Isola, this is your account. What just happened?
Just another night in Gotham, yes, as exactly. They like to say. You know, the end of the game, Jay Crowder, do you need to do that? Absolutely not. But Elfrid Payton, you have an issue with it. You confront him after he makes the shot. You don't take a cheap shot like that when someone's very vulnerable. Shove him in the chest. With those empty seats there, you can easily hit your head. And then for Marcus Morris, when you're going to apologize and you're going to say heat of the moment, that was about 20 minutes after the game ended. I'm sorry. That must be some moment that you're having. For it to be 20 minutes from the time it happened until you said that, completely out of line. I get the apology. The NBA, I'm sure, is going to fine him. Just an ugly night all the way around.
Kevin Blackstone?
Yeah, and how tone deaf of Morris at this point, right? I mean, just yesterday, hashtag girl dad was trending all over in respect for the loss of Kobe Bryant and his daughter and the pictures that were out there that Vanessa put up on her Instagram page. And for him to say something like that is absolutely ridiculous. Not only that, but Virginia just became the 38th state to vote for the ERA amendment, which could make it the 28th amendment of the Constitution. Mm-hmm. So, you know, pay attention, be more educated, and don't sound like that. And as far as the end of the game, that didn't need to happen with either player. And what did you say? Something about no hot water in the shower for the visiting
team? That's what John Morant said.
Whoa,
yes.
That's a real headline. Who likes to work out and then go into a shower and find it just drip, drip, drip and can't get any hot water? We should have an investigation into that. Come on.
Clinton Yates?
Yeah, low water pressure is akin to psychological abuse as far as I'm concerned for the visiting team. But as far as Morris is concerned, look, the problem is that he said heat of the moment as if that is some kind of excuse. That's the problem. If that's where you're going in the heat of the moment, it means you don't understand that that is wrong. So just apologizing for it indicates that he's not really clear on what the issue is there, which is that anything that has to do with women and females is not lesser than, somehow weaker, or, you know, more of a problem. That's the issue. There. It's not just that you said something in a time when you should have said something. Morris, come on, man. You got to be smarter than that. This is 2020.
And Emily Kaplan?
Well, as it pertains to the water, all I have to say is Ja Morant last year played in the Ohio Valley Conference, where he played teams like Eastern Illinois and Austin Peay. So apparently they've got better water pressure than MSG. Welcome to the NBA, kid. But yeah, the Knicks have a lot bigger issues than that. And Marcus Morris, I don't want to pile on, but I'm going to pile on. I do think he can learn a lesson from Kobe Bryant. And all we've been talking about all week is his relationship with Gigi and the way he supported her as a professional, her aspirations to be a professional basketball player. He never qualified it female basketball player, just basketball player, because that's the way he respected her. So I'll give the mic drop to Liz Cambage, who tweeted last night, female tendencies win games, though.
Mm-hmm. Frank Isola, can I ask you about the sell the team chance? What's up with that? Are we going anywhere with this?
Yeah. Yeah, there were actually reports that other fans were kicked out of the building. We've seen this before, and when he hears that, they kick people out. You know, I like Marcus Morris a lot as a player, but I'm getting a little tired of every game he needs to prove to us that he's the toughest guy in the NBA, and he wants to fight everybody. You have 48 minutes during the game. Play and start winning some games, because the way he's going about it is wrong. And you know what it overshadowed with Ja Morant? Ja Morant last night in that game was a plus 42. Tonight when they announce the All-Star reserves, he should be one of them.
Yeah. You said Dolan typically throws fans out. So he threw, what, 10,000 out last night for the final minute of the game? Is that what he had already left with 41 seconds left. One more thing about Marcus Morris. This is about the apology, okay? He said, I respect for women and everything they mean to us. That final clause of that is something I'm going to take umbrage with as well. The idea that it's measured by relation to you. That and here's one other thing. My qualm with the hashtagification of things. Girl Dad, it is so wonderful for people to say why they're happy being a father and to demonstrate why they're happy being a father of a girl with pictures. But if it's just a chance to show a nice photo and move on, it's gotta be more than that. And this, among many, many other things, is what it's up against. We'll move on now. Let's talk about the Super Bowl. Preview to the preview. You ready? The number one matchup of this Super Bowl. That's not a rhetorical question, National Panel. The number one matchup of this Super Bowl is, anyone? Mahomes versus the Niners defense. Thank you very much. Let's start with that. In Super Bowl history, when top five passing offense plays a top five passing defense, I hope somebody's going to give me the stat and tell me who wins out most often. Clinton Yates, you can have first crack at it. And who's got the advantage going in? What's the game inside the game?
Defense wins out most often, but defenses haven't seen Patrick Mahomes on the field. Look, people want to talk about how Bosa's going to get after him and force him to get the ball out quickly. Okay, you want to deal with that? You got Hartman, you got Kelce, you got Watkins, and you got the fastest guy in the league in Tyreek Hill. I'm sorry. They are at an advantage in this, and I just don't think that it's necessarily, it's not that the game's not going to be close, but I don't think that you're just going to be able to assume that Mahomes being faster with his delivery is going to mean less problems for the Niners. That dude is good. That's what
Emily Kaplan.
Well, first, I'm going to one-up Clinton. He's right that defense wins, but I believe it's a 9-5 ratio when defense often wins.
There we go.
But look, Patrick Mahomes, we know he can be scary when he finds a rhythm, and that's exactly what the 49ers need to prevent. He rarely has a bad game in the NFL, but there was one that he did play pretty badly, and I think that could be the blueprint. It was week 5 against the Colts, and yes, he was going against an ankle injury, but the Colts play a lot of zone-heavy defense, just like the 49ers. And what they did that was effective is they switched up their coverages a lot, and they were unpredictable, which prevented him from finding a rhythm. So I think that's exactly what the 49ers need to do to slow him down.
Look at this panel right now. They knew Emily Kaplan. They thought we were getting an NHL on ice, Emily Kaplan. You forgot it's MMQB Emily Kaplan just a few years ago. Frank Isola, where are you on this?
She's like Vince Lombardi over there. You know, last year, if you look at the Super Bowl, the Rams had a high-flying offense. The Patriots shut them down. Two times that the Giants won Super Bowls, they shut down Buffalo, and they shut down New England as well. I think that Niner defense, the big thing is going to be that front four. Can Nick Bosa get to Patrick Mahomes? Because if you let Mahomes run all over the place, he's going to beat you. But I think the Niners, they're the one defense in the NFL in a big game, could stop Mahomes in the
Chiefs. Listen to this. So Frank may be leaning towards defense. Kevin Blackstone, where are you?
Well, defense wins championships. That's what we've always said. We put it on the front of T-shirts, and Frank just pointed it out. You know, the 49ers' defense up front is very, very impressive. They're second in the league in sack rate, third in the league in pressure rate. All those first-rounders they have up there, like guys like D. Ford. I think that that's what they have to do, Clinton. They have to force them to get the ball out, Mahomes to get the ball out fast. Can Mahomes beat him like that? He can, but that's what they've got to do if they're going to have an opportunity to win this game.
Kaplan,
and they've done that all year long.
Please, go ahead.
No, he can't. That's what they do.
Yeah, Clinton?
I'm just saying, I mean, look, I understand that people look at Patrick Mahomes and they say that he's one of the most electric players in the league. I just don't think you can assume that Bosa getting to him is somehow going to mean that he's not going to be able to get the guy to his guys, the best receiving core in the league.
And Kaplan?
No, I just wanted to talk about Jimmy Garoppolo because he's getting no airtime here.
Okay, please, let's do that. Now you want to host the show as well, please.
She's going to break in
today. Okay. I just wanted to say that, you know, I think people are just discrediting him as a game manager, but he's actually the NFL's most effective passer when it comes to long throws this year, and has 7 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm. So the number 2 matchup of the game, Emily has told us it's Garoppolo in the Niners' run game versus the Chiefs' defense. Who's got the advantage there, Kevin Blackstone?
Oh, I still got to go with the defense once again. I think that, you know, we've seen what the 49ers can do, but once again, the pressure is going to have to be on Garoppolo. And even though quarterbacks don't play against quarterbacks, we often talk about these games in matchups of quarterbacks, Garoppolo versus Mahomes. I know the running game is there. It's been very good for these guys, but when you have a couple weeks to prepare, things happen. Stuff happens.
You know, you haven't even mentioned any part of the Chiefs' defense just as of yet. You're just talking about, well, the Niners' offense is so good, but maybe it'll catch up with them. Clinton, you reacted when you heard Kevin say he was taking the Chiefs' defense. Why?
This is big time the 49ers run offense for me, simply because you watch that offense play and it is sexy. They are confusing people with that zone scheme. And look, what they're going to need is gap responsibility to the Chiefs defense. The one person I trust more than anybody is Terrell Suggs, because he's a guy who can identify that stuff and make sure that they don't get caught out on the edge, you know, biting on jet sweeps and all this other nonsense. But it's not going to be easy. That's why they're so good at it.
And Frank, when you look at Chiefs defense versus Garoppolo and the Niners run game?
I still think the Niners can produce against them, but remember that defense did stop Derrick Henry. But everyone talks about Garoppolo. If they run the ball, then they can't get anything. Remember when they went on the road to New Orleans, that game that Garoppolo had 4 touchdown passes, 350 yards? I know that for a fact because Emily told it to me.
All right, settle down, Brad. That was the famed George Kittle carry everybody game, right? I don't believe any of you are on tomorrow's panel for our preview. Maybe Frank is, but Frank, you can make 2 picks. Emily, who you got in the game? I'm going to write this down. We're going to get points and mutes on Monday.
I got the Chiefs.
Yates?
Chiefs in overtime.
Blackstone. Chiefs. Frank Isola?
San Francisco.
Buy or sell's next.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase. Coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
And it's always odd when you hear player safety is their biggest concern, and they're really standing up for player safety. But it seems like player safety has a price tag. You know, player safety up to the point of, hey, 17 games makes us this much money. So we really don't care how safe they are.
Kevin Blackstone, how do you hear Richard Sherman there?
Richard Sherman is right on point there. He's absolutely correct. You know, they need to get rid of this whole idea of these 17 games. I mean, it's just to make more money, and even more pernicious is to save the league money, because they know that that will speed up the clock on guys in this league, which means they will have few people who are invested, and that means they can save more on pension money.
Frank Isola?
It's really a bad deal.
There's too many preseason games. To me, you can't add another game. Right now, I think the format is terrific, especially rewarding the two best teams in each conference with a bye week. Richard Sherman has to be 100% right.
Lee Kaplan?
I'm buying that this is exactly what most players think. And if I'm the owners, I'm going to rush to get a deal soon, because if there's a new NFLPA president in March, they're going to have to start from scratch. And look, the owners should just move on to issues that actually can make them more money, which is a new broadcast deal and gambling.
Glenn Yates?
Good point, too. Yeah, it's just such a naked cash grab. I mean, I don't know any NFL fans who are looking at the season and saying, you know what, we really need one more game on the schedule in order to satisfy our bloodlust. That's not what this is to me. It just seems too obvious that they're trying to squeeze more, you know, blood out of stone.
We'll move on. Buy or sell 2. Kasian Kachuk, Battle of Alberta. 2 weeks ago, Kasian basically called Kachuk a predator and snapped after no call for a hit. That got him a suspension. Suspension served, and of course he's back for last night. Everybody was ready for it last night. Neither started, both waited, kind of casually took to it. TSN's Ryan Rashog detailed it. Kasian told Kachuk right before they fought, "Thanks, kid, I appreciate you doing this." Showed a healthy amount of respect for him in this immediate availability. Said Kachuk wanted to go right away, but yada, yada, yada. I mean, just, Emily Kaplan, talk to me about what you saw last night, what this means for the sport,
and whether you thought it was a good thing.
I'm buying that this is good for the NHL. Look, we can debate the merits of fighting, but there's two things that are true. One, players largely believe that it regulates the game. And two, casual fans find it really fun and exciting. Last night, they sent someone from the Department of Player Safety and the head of officiating to this game. We knew something was going to go get down. It was the most excited I've been for a regular season game in a long time. And hey, if this gets fans to tune in and watch the petty drama and actually happen to catch Connor McDavid along the way, so be it.
Glenn Yates?
I'm buying that this is good for Kachuk's reputation. I mean, what he's known as is a guy who turtles. Basically, he hits guys with cheap shots and doesn't want to fight. And so that overall mechanism of trying to regulate itself doesn't work. That is not something I love discussing, and it's why people come to hockey. But overall, I mean, look, if this is what's going to make, if this is what's going to make people watch, I'll deal with
it. Kevin Blackstone, you have been very anti-fights in hockey for as long as I've known you. What did you, how'd you read last night?
Well, look at the way we started off this show. We just trashed Peyton and Crowder in the NBA for getting into a fight. Now we're going to celebrate this. We just trashed Kansas and Kansas State the other week in college basketball for getting into a fight. And now I'm going to celebrate this. This was a very good rivalry in the 1980s because these two teams were outstanding and they were star-studded rosters. That's a great rivalry. That's what's good for the NHL. But this fighting, I give it no
Frank
quarter
Isola
at all.
This is not why Harry and Meghan Markle moved to Canada. See all this fighting. But, Kevin, when you talk about rivalries, the fighting is part of it. You know, every great rivalry in hockey has some kind of history. And people say, well, I remember when they got in a fight. These guys got in a fight. It's part of it, and it helps you kind of get through the regular season, which is an issue that the NBA also has.
This, as far as fights go, again, this was like a white dueling glove was exchanged. I mean, they were buying each other's stuff. Thank you so much for agreeing to do this. I mean, it was an incredible way it played out, too. I think everybody walked away feeling, okay, good. We've got enough. We'll move on.
You agreed with me.
Buy or Sell 3, an Astros fan named Tony Adams created a website named SignStealingScandal.com and created an application to help him track every trash can bang he could hear on televised Astros home games in 2017, nearly 60 of them, to see how deep the cheating went, and his findings are on the website, and he went deep. You're looking at some of them right here. I mean, he's calling out Gonzalez, Marlon Gonzalez, and Carlos Beltran, especially for getting a lot of trash bangs for their buck. Clinton Yates, what are you doing with this information?
I'm throwing up as a baseball fan because this is the problem. As much as you want to talk about the overall knowledge of what we know was cheating, simply looking at all these details is terrible. There's one particular game against the Astros that's pointed out there where they gave up 16 earned runs. Two of the guys who pitched in that game never threw in the bigs ever again. And that, to me, as a fan, is simply something that I cannot stand looking at.
Evan Blackstone.
This is fantastic investigative reporting. What you just saw there is what we call data visualization. This is the cutting edge of journalism right now, and I applaud this guy for going out and taking the time to actually examine this and try and put together a story. Everybody who covers baseball should have tried to do this or find someone on their staff who could do it.
Guy Sola.
Excellent.
I was thinking the same exact thing. And if he's doing it, why is it Major League Baseball doing it and telling us that this is everything that went down? I'll tell you what, too. Carlos Beltran was heavily involved in this. You know, we were debating whether or not with the Mets he should lose his job. He earned this one to be out.
Blake Kaplan.
This just reaffirmed to me of how brazen the Astros were in this entire scandal. Just think of this on a granular level. This guy went online and found all of these games that are available on YouTube for free and listened to grown men stand in hallways and bang bats against trash cans and counted it. And that's how he uncovered it. That's wild.
Well, per the commissioner's report, there was also whistling and yelling. And Tony Adams said he couldn't track that exactly. There could have been more. Kevin Blackstone, your professor of journalism at Maryland, I believe you just gave an A-plus to Mr. Tony Adams. Thank you.
Pure surprise.
Well, okay. I didn't know we were giving that out.
What about me?
Frank, you also were here on today's show. Emily Kaplan, Clinton Yates, showdown in 2 minutes.
There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
A Kobe Bryant tribute at the NBA All-Star Game. This is a change of format the NBA announcing today. Each quarter will be its own mini game. All right? So the winner of each quarter gets money for charity. For the start of the fourth quarter,
24 as a target score is going to figure prominently, a bonus for the leading team. And then a team will win $500,000 in total for charity is at stake. Emily Kaplan, Clinton Yates, I'm looking at your faces. You seem a little confused. I, too, am confused, and I just said the words. Where are you in this Kobe tribute at the All-Star game, man?
Well, I think everyone knows it's appropriate to honor Kobe Bryant this year. There's no fights there. But isn't there a way to do it that's a little less gimmicky than rules that sound like a weird European board game no one understands?
Yes, the way to do it is very simple. Kobe Bryant played 20 seasons in the NBA, was an All-Star for 18 of them, won the MVP award of that game 4 times, he tied for the most. Name the award after him. That seems like an appropriate tribute.
Yes, on European board games with weird rules, and yes, on the MVP. And yes, to charity money. We can do that without having these gimmicks. We'll move on. The incredible run of Sophia Kennan in Showdown 2. 7-6, 7-5 over number one Ash Barty. All the attention was on Serena and Coco, and it's the 21-year-old American in the Aussie Open final, her first Grand Slam final, versus Muguruza. Clinton, what about what Kennan just did jumps out at you?
More about what she's done over her whole career. She won the award for the most improved player on the tour. Born in Russia, chooses to play as an American. Her dad's a coach, passed up playing in college. Great American tennis story.
I've seen this video of Sophia Kennan at 7 years old being asked, what's the secret to being Andy Roddick? She goes, I can return a serve. If she has that precociousness and can return a serve at seven, she's going to win many slams in her life.
I appreciate the Wikipedia read there, Clinton Yates, but I love Kaplan's story.
I learned it by asking my tennis friends.
Okay, good research. Then I'll give you a point for that. But how do you beat Yates by returning his serve? And that's what Kaplan just did right there. Showdown 3 is Djokovic-Federer, which happened today. 50th meeting. And Djokovic taking it in straight sets. Federer probably just thrilled not having to play 5 sets. Now, on the way to major win number 17, Djokovic goes to the final this weekend. Emily, have you come to crown the Joker or say goodbye to Fed?
Yeah, I love Djokovic and I want to see him succeed, but unfortunately this match to me was about Roger Federer, his lingering groin injury, and maybe the end for him.
Yep, when he fought off all those match points in that 5-setter, it was one for the old guys, but much like me trying to fight off Emily Kaplan, I'm not sure if he's going to go any farther.
That's not the confidence I was looking for, Clinton Yates. Kaplan.
Hey, man, I'm looking good in Miami.
Time. 30 seconds, Kaplan.
At the NHL's All-Star Game last weekend, they had a really cool event. They had 3-on-3 women's hockey, the best players of U.S. versus Canada. This extends women's hockey players with the NHL, and there's a lot of people who are skeptical about it. They say women's hockey shouldn't be a charity. They say that the NHL shouldn't have to back them. They shouldn't be a white knight in shining armor. But what I say to that is that history tells us that women's professional leagues are successful when they're attached to pre-existing men's leagues. So I hope the men and continue to support the women.
Could do it, folks. 23 and a half hour break. We'll see you tomorrow.